Welcome to your podcast. Doom, doo, 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 doo. My name is Mary. Doo, 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 doo. And here is Tammy.
Yep.
Welcome to your podcast. This is Mary.
And this is Tammy.
Yep. And we are now going to kick off the second half of our Fat Chance Belly Dance interview with Carolina of Fat Chance Belly Dance and Mega of Devyani. Before we get to the rest of the interview, we took general skills and it was awesome.
It was fantastic. I was on a Fat Chance ATS high for like days. Yesterday I had to go back to work and I floated through my day. I was like clinging to I have a little red binder that I put everything in, and I was just clinging to it and loving it.
I kept looking at complete strangers, like not even people I belly dance with. Just like walking past people on the, you know, street going, if I took them in hand, we could learn ATS and then we could dance together with anyone in the country who knows ATS. We could all be friends. We could all dance together. Like I was just hugging the world for like 2 days. It was great. Feel the love.
Yeah, the general skills, it's an intensive for sure. You get a syllabus, but you look at it and you're like, okay, these are things I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's stuff I know with adjustments everywhere. I really didn't know what I thought I knew, and just pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of notes.
Yay.
The only interesting thing was you zill a lot in general skills. So it was very interesting when I was trying to take notes very quickly with my zills on. I can tell like when I had my zills on and when I didn't, because my notes are all kind of like letters are really, really big.
I love that. By day three, I was like, I love it. She says, let's drill. And everyone just makes a beeline for their zills.
So you get this awesome certificate. It had my name on it, and Carolina signed it, and Mega signed it, and then, you know, I got to take a picture with them holding my certificate, and it was just an amazing experience. I can't describe to you the mind melt I had at the end of every day. Like, I thought my brain was just going to collapse inside my head because it was so much information.
I thought I was going to be exhausted physically, but physically I was fine. Mentally, I was just drained. There's a lot more talking and description and specifics than I think I was anticipating.
The most eye-opening thing for me was when she was talking about when you're turned into a circle, that the lead is neutralized. I was like, what? The lead is neutralized?
Crazy. Yeah.
And it makes me so happy. I like that. I like that the lead is neutralized.
All right. So long story short, we recommend you take general skills. Lots of awesome stuff in there. And just meeting Carolina and Mega in person and spending time with them and getting to know them a little better was extremely awesome. Let's talk show.
Showtime.
So we had a show on Sunday, which is the second day of the traditional weekend. And I thought it was a pretty good show. It was nice and compact. It wasn't too long. People who came, a lot of people came to the show. It was sold out and then some. It wasn't a really big venue, so it's not like there were 700 seats or anything, but it was packed.
Yeah, because I think
sardines.
Yeah, I think Lacey had mentioned something like she had 150.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Available or something. So, yeah, 150 plus standing room only. Basically.
And there was not much standing room left by the end.
No.
Some groups from Florida Tribal danced.
Of course.
Loud Zoo danced. But who do we really want to talk about? Carolina and Mega. Just jump right to the chase. Everybody was great. If you danced, you were awesome.
We were awesome.
We were totally awesome. Oh, we do have to mention, also in the show was Keishi. I can't believe we almost forgot. Yeah, Keishi from Belly Queen also came down to take the general skills.
And she had a workshop on Sunday.
For Pure.
Which I heard was a fantastic workshop.
Yeah. Heard she worked them. What's wrong, Tammy?
I'm eating and I shouldn't be. Sorry.
What are you eating? Is it delicious?
It's a little muffin my daughter handed me.
Oh, she loves you. She probably dropped on the floor. Got licked by the dogs. Who knows where it's been? That's love.
As I lick it. Ah. Yeah, so another person in the show was Keishi. And what was so cool about it is Mary and I got to be like her undressers.
She had a quick costume change.
She danced beautifully. Now, I could only see the back corner of her from where we were at. But from other people I had talked to after the show, including my husband, apparently he was a very big fan of Casey's. Because I heard a lot about her later on. No, he just thought that she was really, really good. A lot of people did, and I'm sure she was. From what I could tell, she was really good. And I liked that she kind of started off with this...
like Chinese traditional dance type
thing. Yeah, that was so cool with the little fans. And then she rocked it out afterward, took the chopsticks out of her hair. She whipped her hair around. It was awesome.
Rare.
It was just a lot of fun. I don't know.
She was very, very nice.
Yeah, she was sweet. In an upcoming episode, we actually got to interview her as well. So that was fun. Got to know a little bit more about Keishi.
Now, on to Carolina and Mega.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They started off by doing this cool, like, moving meditation piece.
Yeah, it looked very, like, classical Indian dance inspired.
Yeah, very pretty. And to watch them both. And they're just so cute. When Carolina and Mega dance together, you can see this playfulness that they have between the two of them. Like, they have this secret. I'd like to know their secret. And so they started off with the moving meditation, and then Mega did her solo.
Right, it was this upbeat song, and a couple times she did this big layback with shoulder shimmies, and she was just smiling, like, it's so easy to do really big layback with shoulder shimmies and look so calm and smiling. And then
they did a slow improv piece together.
Mm-hmm. And then Carolina...
which was the
they did the Sara song as their slow improv, and then Carolina did her solo.
Sick. Sick.
In a good way.
Yes.
As in, yo-yo, that was sick.
Exactly. Because it was like belly rolls on top of flutters on top of belly rolls on top of let me stop the belly roll in the middle of a flutter and then go in the other direction for no apparent reason other than to show you I can do it.
Wow.
I had commented to Mary earlier that it was a bunch of dancers, obviously, that were standing around me and were watching it. And all of us are going, oh, my God, no way. I can't. Oh, we couldn't even, like, finish our sentences because it was just so amazing when Carolina shows us how to do flutters and general skills. I felt something move. I didn't see a darn thing move.
I felt like I was having a heart attack. That's when I stopped because I was like, I feel very flushed.
That's bad. I don't think you're supposed to have a heart attack.
I was trying to hold my breath and then pretend I was sniffing in. Except my chest started like, I don't know what that was about. So I just pretended to try for a while. I'm sorry to admit that. I'm so ashamed right now.
So moving on.
And then after that, they did a fast improv.
Oh, so cute again. Just so much fun. They dance beautifully together. The best thing to do is to go on YouTube and really watch their Bad Chance or Deviani videos and just take it in. But nothing can be like watching them in person. I can't explain it other than it was amazing and I was so thankful to be there and to be able to witness it.
Everybody wanted to jump into a huge mass group improv so bad.
Yeah.
You could just feel it in the air. Like if anyone jumps on stage, we're going for it. Going for it.
Dude, that would have been wild.
That would have been wild. Well, we are going to now go ahead and put on the second half of the Fat Chance / Deviani interview. Hope you enjoy it.
I was going to ask, with dance becoming popular, you know, they have all these dance shows now, and if you thought that belly dance could become more recognized.
Based on my experience, no. I just don't, there is something bizarre about belly dance where it's just like under the radar. I don't know why. I do know why. Because most of the time what you see is very unprofessional. It's just not worth the time. And producers look at what's out there and they go, no, it's a joke. Because most of what they see is not good. And I'm not dissing anybody. It's just like in general, belly dance is not, it's part of it is the stereotype of what they think they're seeing. Not understanding what a traditional Egyptian belly dance looks like, and certainly not understanding anything about ATS. But I think there's a cultural divide between like what is belly dance and what Americans are looking at. Yeah. I think that's what the problem is.
Well, even in shows like So You Think You Can Dance, and I love that we're in sort of a more, hey, everybody, let's dance type time. You know, like dance was really big in the 80s, and you know, it's sort of coming back now. We're having all these dance movies, and I mean, I think that's good. But I mean, even on that show, which I love, every single belly dancer that I've seen on like the auditions has not been good. I mean, Stephen from Montage Maya.
Yeah.
You said auditioned, and he's an amazing dancer, but he didn't get on because, you know, and oh, you know, what did the world see? They saw a guy belly dancer and probably had a big hoot and holler of it. And every other belly dancer that we've seen audition, well, that I've seen audition, has been a less than skilled dancer. And it's sort of like, oh, that's cute. And they're belly dancers.
It's just completely misunderstood, which is frustrating because my job, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, I don't know.
So in being able to travel all over the world and meet so many dancers, where do you see the community going as a whole, and how do you think we could improve upon it?
Well, you know what we have seen is since we started, the whole reason for the whole Tribal Pura thing was to get true, pure ATS out there. Because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people just can't travel to San Francisco to study with Carolina, and have tried to learn from videos and all. And just through, you know, sheer lack of being in the proximity, didn't really have an understanding of what it was, or had learned from people who learned from people who learned from a video, and things got misinterpreted or deliberately changed or whatever. So we wanted to take this out and teach, you know, the pure, true ATS. And people have been so receptive mm-hmm. to it and so enthusiastic about it. And every event we do, people come up to us and say, I had no idea. I had no idea. And I love this dance form. And it's been really heartening to see, you know, to see that how much people, once they actually see it and experience it for what it is, really do love it and appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And so there is a community of, you know, true ATS that really is growing around the world now. And I think it's great. You know, it makes me really happy to see it. And I think it's only going to continue to grow. I mean, as long as we're, you know, helping people understand what the foundation is.
I agree.
And I think our family, I guess.
It's really refreshing because I got really stagnated in San Francisco because I just felt like I had worked there for so hard for so long. And all of a sudden, it felt like the energy dropped out of San Francisco. The .com thing had a lot to do with that. I just felt like the only way I can describe it is the energy dropped out of the dance scene in San Francisco. You know, it was sort of like, I'm either going to quit this thing entirely or I need to hit the road, you know. And when I hit the road and got out there and saw so many people so interested in it, it was really refreshing and exciting. And I'm just like, I am completely willing. If you want me, call me. I'm coming there because it's great to see people's enthusiasm. It's really what I want. I want people to feel that enthusiasm, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, if you're frustrated and you don't understand it and there's all these questions about like this, that, and the other thing, it's like, call me up, man. I'll come over and we'll talk it out, and hopefully you'll be inspired at the end and you'll want to be an ambassador to the dance form, mm-hmm. because, I mean, that's really it, you know? It's all about just keep pushing it forward and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And it's great when people are enthusiastic.
And so is that where general skills really came from, is people really wanting to know exactly the truest form of ATS, or how did general skills come about?
I don't know how general skills came about.
Well, there's kind of a story.
Okay.
When when Carolina and I formed our partnership and started working together, and then I opened my studio and we started saying, you know, maybe we should take this, you know, out on the road and do this thing. We did that and we announced the partnership and started going out on the road. And she would explain to people how I became her partner, right? And that she had certified me as a teacher. And I was like the only one outside of the Fat Chance troupe that was certified, you know, by her to teach this exactly the way that she does and everything. And so people started wanting to know how they could get certified mm-hmm. as teachers, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But right. they didn't necessarily want to only do ATS. So she created the general skills curriculum kind of based on that request. So many people were saying, how do I become a certified teacher? How can I be involved in this, you know? So they asked for it and she gave it to them. Well, actually, I guess the teacher certification kind of started first, and then there were people who wanted
it used to be sort of a combined process,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it was sort of assumed that you were, if you were this interested, you wanted to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. And then, but sort of quickly it split apart to mm-hmm. be like, there could be just general skill. Well, because general skills used to sort of infer teacher training. As things sort of started to split off in the beginning, people would just like buy the DVDs, mm-hmm. watch them and start teaching. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's mm-hmm. like, go ahead. I mean, knock yourself out if that's what you want to do. And then some people showed a more interest in that than that. So I created the general skills to be like, okay, take this and then go teach. And then people were like, but what about teacher certification? And I was like, okay. And now we have a teacher certification. You know? So, you know, it was the general skills was supposed to be like, okay, you got the information that you wanted, go off and enjoy yourself. But mm-hmm. then they wanted more than that. And it's kind of funny because it went from general skills, then teacher training, and now there's even a teacher training too, which is sort of like a forum with Carolina where you basically just get to, after several years of teaching, you want to sit down with Carolina and find out, like, what do I do about all these problems? You know, what do I do about this? And what do I do about this? And what do I do about this? And we just sit around and we talk about all of those things. So it just seems to be growing.
Like, rent your conversation time.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, you know. But
that's
which is
a good racket.
But it was suggested to me. I didn't pull it up, you know. You know, I'm completely happy to share all of my information with anybody that's interested. I mean, if you have a pure heart and you're really interested in promoting the dance form, I'm right there. I want to help. So call me up.
And then from there, after taking teacher training, then they have the option to become a sister studio if they want to go that far.
Right, right. If you really want to join us and basically like become part of what we do, you can become a sister studio and we'll support you. And I'll become your mentor.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I agree.
How cool would that be? Well, I'm sure Megan knows. How cool would that be to be pretty like, cool. Carolina's my mentor?
She's in my phone.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's pretty damn cool.
You could just be on auto dial. It's true.
Can I just say, if we're to be honest, it feels really good to sit at the right hand of the queen. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's so cute to see. Like, I guess everybody that really gets involved with this has their, like, moment, right? Like, obviously my moment was when she said, hey, I think we should work together. We should, you know, because you get this thing and we should do some stuff together was, you know, one of the most incredible conversations I ever had just to hear that. When she called me and said that her assistant director was going to England to teach and wanted to know if I wanted to go with her, I will never forget this day because I was standing in my living room and my mom and my husband and our baby were in the kitchen. And I started doing the football happy dance. Like I was like leaping. I was still talking to her, but I was leaping up and down, like trying to like, I couldn't talk, but, and they were looking at me like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, sure. I think I could do that. You know what I mean? While I'm like,
I gotta check my schedule. Honestly,
it's so funny. And then, at the studio, and I've seen several of my girls like answer the phone at the studio when we like first opened the studio, and they all know Carolina now, and we've all worked together a lot, and they still, you know, are like, tell Carolina I said hi. Like it's still very exciting for them, but it's so cute to see the first time like somebody answered the phone at the studio and it was Carolina, and they came running down the hall. I just talked to Carolina. I just answered the phone and it was Carolina. Really cute. It's very sweet. And the thing is, I can totally understand their excitement, you know. I'm completely sympathetic. So
totally geeking out.
But I mean, and I really appreciate that sense of respect, because there have been so many moments in my life where people just dissed me and I'm like, what did I not do that you have to be rude to me? Part of me wants to become cold and hard, and the other part of me is like, you just have to let it go. But it's like, but the part that's not going to happen is I'm not going to let it cut me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm mm-hmm. not going to take it personally.
In the greater scheme of things, I haven't been doing tribal that long, and I didn't know about Fat Chance right away. And so maybe about 6 months, a year after I'd sort of really become interested in tribal, was when the sort of whole ATS, ITS, like, explosion happened, and Tribe was like, and all of that drama was going on about, you know, well, whatever, we're ATS and we're not going to change our name, and just like the angry threads that were getting deleted by people, and then people go, what, why'd you take down the thread? I'll start a new thread. And just like, just all this bile mm-hmm. on the web. And that was sort of when I was still very much a baby tribal dancer. Mm-hmm. And that was very, because we've been calling ourselves ATS, but we weren't, you know, we Gypsy Caravan stuff. We did, you know, pulled in moves from different places. We'd make up our own stuff. I mean, on one hand, I could definitely understand sort of the anguish of the people who were not pure ATS mm-hmm. because it was kind of like getting cut from the mothership, where you're like, I thought I was part of something so huge and right. and then I wasn't. But, you know, sort of after the dust started to settle down, it's like, well, I totally get it. It's like, you know, I'd been to some more workshops by then and mm-hmm. I'd met some more tribal dancers and like I couldn't dance with them. You know, right. It's like. It's like, I was ATS, you know, we should dance. And it's like, I couldn't. Like, right. you know, the moves were, some of them were similar, but so many of them were different.
Right.
And like, the way you guys cue is so much more subtle than how we did it at the beginning.
Right.
You know, and just for a couple months, I was like so depressed. But from that, you know, when I started going to Tribal Con and like, you know, your classes at Tribal Con Mega, it was just sort of like more of a sort of blossoming, like, it's okay, we can be who we are, and we can learn more about it and, you know, sort of, you know, regrow the umbilical. So that was hard, but I can't even imagine how hard it was for people who'd been in that world for a much longer time.
Right.
You know,
and just to clarify for people that are listening that maybe don't know about that conversation on Tribe, you know, it's just that when I first started this, I had no idea how it was going to explode. So I just assumed people would understand my concept, American tribal style belly dance, femininity, elegance, and power, and just go on that. But it just like went haywire in so many different directions that by the time that I finally like pulled it back in, I was like, it was not all ATS. It mm-hmm. was tribal style. It was a complete, I was like totally willing to say, you can call it tribal style, but ATS is what Fat Chance does, or affiliates like Devyani, you know, or people that really want to do what we do, but you can't do something else and still call it ATS because we have a vocabulary that works in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it really upset a lot of people because it's true. In the beginning, I just said, you know, broadly, we'll call this American tribal style belly dance, have a wonderful time. But I had no idea it was going to go in so many different directions. And when I had to pull it back in, it made a lot of people really unhappy. I publicly said, you know, I'm sorry if you're unhappy, but if you're not doing what I do, it's not ATS. But you can call it tribal or ITS or, you know, inspired yeah. tribal. That's what that means. You know, don't stop doing what you're doing, but please let me have control over the quality of what I do. And that's what really frustrated me is like people actually tried to take my own quality away from me. And I was like, no, this whole thing is shutting down and I'm going to the library before I'll give up control of my own quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think really in the end, it's a good thing that the sort of whole explosion happened. I mean, it ended up being very good for me because mm-hmm. when I was definitely getting more into improv, that's one of the things that I really was interested in embracing. Just the concept that I could go meet a dancer in California or meet a dancer in Maine and just mm-hmm. dance with them. Just, I'd get all giddy, you know?
Yeah.
And then, but like now I'm working towards that, you know? So like, that's one of the reasons I really want to take general skills. So now I can go to Maine or I can go to California. I can go, yeah, I know ATS. Let's go jam, you know? And it's something that I have in my vocabulary that I can work on. So,
you know, it's been 20, it was 20 years in the making, which is really very average for a concept. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we all want it to happen immediately. And it's like things like that don't happen immediately. 20 years to build up a concept, that's a reasonable amount of time. 20 more years to get it into the public eye, that's also a reasonable amount of time. You know, I'm kind of wondering, like, why isn't belly dance in the media? Why isn't ATS, you know, a universal language? Because it takes some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that on the one hand, it's very frustrating because I want it to happen yesterday. And on the other hand, I'm looking at it going, wow, this is a real thing. It's going to take some time for it to actually permeate the population. You know, it's not just... Mm-hmm. Not just to permeate the niche market, but to actually reach the mass populace. And I'm going to keep pushing that, you know, and like I'm going to be on Ellen and Oprah. You know what I mean? When my book comes out, it's hitting the New York Times bestseller list. I'm positive of it. I'm like, I'm all about affirmation and I'm there. You know what I mean? I'm opening for Katie Lang. It's going to happen. You know what I mean? Not giving up. There's just, but it's going to take some time. Different music genres have taken time. Different dance genres have taken time. It's mm-hmm. not going to happen overnight, but I'm not giving up.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
That's something Mary and I actually are hoping to work on here just in Orlando. We went yesterday before the workshop. We went and had, they have a creative meeting that was called Meeting of Orlando Minds. And it's more like theater. Yeah. A friend of mine does a local blog and he kind of said, okay, all these independent producers, actors, that kind of stuff, let's go ahead and meet. We'll meet for coffee, Barney's or whatever. And it was at 8 o'clock. Me and Mary are like, perfect, we can go. I'm off of work, that's great, we'll go, you know, before we have workshop all day. So we went there, and for myself at least, I have a theater background as well, and mm-hmm. so I know a lot of these people, or at least have worked with some of them. And for me, it just frustrates me that I can go to, we have a local fringe festival here, and there are shows with modern dancers, and why can't there be a show with belly dancers?
Yeah.
Why can't we pull a crowd? Why can't we sell tickets to general public? And whenever we have a show, it's pretty much, you know, a lot of times, unless it's like a local festival or something like that, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's just, you know, we're performing for other belly dancers.
Right, yeah.
And so Mary and I are trying to work toward this, using hopefully our podcast as kind of our stepping ground locally to get belly dance out there in our local community. And one of the things, because we had to go around and introduce ourselves and like what kind of things we produce, and I introduced Mary and myself as part of your podcast, a belly dance podcast, and I said I really think it's important for you guys to understand that the image of belly dancers is not just the girl in sparkly costume at a restaurant or at a drum circle. Uh-huh. You know, we really are a true art form, and I think it's really important that you guys understand that. So now we're like on their mailing list, and you know, it gets me excited, and it's something
that's fantastic.
That's
great.
Not for next year's Fringe, just because we would have to like have our application in too soon and everything, but the following year, I want to kind of do almost a showcase, but present it more in a theatrical sense. Uh-huh. So it's more palatable to the general public who are used to going to theater shows.
Right. That's really great though, because we have to reach out to the mainstream dance community if we want them to give us cred. It's just the way it is, because there's not a standard set already for them to respect what we do and see it as a true art form. We have to reach out to them. Like, I'm a member of the Alabama Dance Council. I get involved in, you know, like committees and things when they're looking for feedback on artistic things that are happening in the community. And I, you know, try to make sure that all of the big like art festivals and cultural events, they at least know about us, right? And I'm keeping my company name and my image in the public eye of the mainstream dance community in my area. And I think that as belly dancers, I mean, they're not going to come looking for us because they respect us. We're going to have to, you know, reach out to them, you know, so that they know that we're there and it is, you know, a respectable, hard, you know, hardworking art form.
Yeah.
And you know, and they're receptive to it once they see it.
Yeah. And I think we have to, as belly dancers, have to present ourselves in a manner that demands respect as well.
Exactly.
So it's almost changing the mentality of belly dancers as well as the general public. Right. So anyway, that was
And can I just say that I think it's great that you're a member of the Alabama Dance Council, and I think it's great that you guys got on the innovative mm-hmm. thing that you did. San Francisco, complete zero.
I should clarify, the Alabama Dance Council is not a council that I sit on. It's an organization that dancers can join, just because I think it sounded maybe like it was some high-sitting official on a council. No, it's an organization that I belong to.
Yeah, well, you know, but I think that's great, because there's nothing like that in San Francisco.
I think that just strikes me as odd to hear, because being on the East Coast, where tribal is very much still a growing sort of genre, you know, we hear about just so many groups on the West Coast, and there's so many awesome festivals out there. And I think we have this picture in our head of like a belly dancer on every corner.
No, not at all.
That's
completely
so
invisible.
Hopefully not on the corner.
Well, not on those corners.
Not, it's totally invisible. We're dancing for other belly dancers.
Yeah.
That's it.
What other things do you do to support your dance? I mean, I believe you've mentioned in general skills that you take yoga. You? Yoga? No?
What do I do to support my dance? Meaning...
Or you support your health. I mean, for instance, Mary takes hip-hop class.
I don't take that to support belly dance. I take it because hip-hop is fun. What other things do you...
Do I do?
...to practice that help keep you motivated, keep you inspired? Friends,
I'm a vegan. I smoke, I drink, and I'm a vegan. And I'm a really happy person. I feel fabulous. And I'm like, can I just say the vegan diet is the bomb? That's, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm not advocating that you go out and buy a pack of cigarettes or a rolling tobacco. I actually roll my own cigarettes, but I ate a vegan diet, and on many occasions, it has completely saved my life. Yep. So I work out at a gym. I love a gym workout. Love it. If you want to work out at a gym, call me. We'll go. I love it. Absolutely love it. I do yoga. Absolutely fabulous. But the thing that has kept me healthy and floating over the years is a vegan diet. It's amazing. And it's not something that you can really understand until you do it. It's like once you get all animal products out of your life, like no wool, no leather, no honey, no, I mean, it sounds extreme, but once you do it, you like get that stuff out of your lifestyle. You're not eating any dairy, no meat, no fish, no chicken, no nothing that was cultivated in a farm and then slaughtered. I don't know how to even describe it because it makes me so sad, but it's like you get that out of your life, your brain grows a flower and things change for you. I'm just sitting right here as the testimony to it. That's it. That is the thing that works for me.
And I know you even have vegan resources available via your Vagigance website, or you had at some point.
Well, you know, I tried to do that, and okay. I found that I really don't have time for the activism end of it. So, like, I obviously am very supportive of the vegan lifestyle. I have one book that I recommend. It's called The World Peace Diet. It was written by Will Tuttle, an amazing, amazing man. So I advocate that, but I really decided not to go into the advocacy of that because there's so much going on right now. You can just like, you know, type in vegan lifestyle, you get a million hits. You know, you really don't need to get it from me. Just look at it, check it out. Your world will change.
Mega?
I am a card-carrying member of a vast vegan conspiracy.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
I have to give credit to some organization in Canada. We went to a vegetarian festival that just happened to be going on while we were teaching in Ontario.
It was amazing.
It was quite good timing. That was on a t-shirt that I bought there, but I just love the sound of it. Yeah, I'm also vegan, and that is a huge part of, you know, how I take care of myself. I've been vegetarian for like 20 years, and apparently was allergic to dairy. Didn't know it until I gave it up 3 years ago. So my health did improve from that. Absolutely advocate it for health and spiritual reasons and environmental reasons, and all the way across the board, it's just the better way to go. But in addition to being vegan, I do massage when I can, and I do chiropractic. I don't do a whole lot of yoga because I'm hypermobile and my joints dislocate really easily. So unfortunately, yoga isn't a really good match for me as far as like doing the asanas, the poses and stretches. A lot of times I'll do a little bit of gentle stuff, but I try to focus more on breathing and just like gentle stretching. Instead, and I have a kid, you know, that I chase around and take care of. That helps. That keeps you active. I would love to take some recreational dance classes. You know, like there's a hip hop fitness class in Birmingham that I would really like to be able to try, but it doesn't really fit in my schedule, and I struggle with fatigue sometimes, and I have to be careful about what I spend my energy on. So I spend it on, you know, my belly dance and my kid.
Those are important things.
Very important things.
I love that you said belly dance first.
Jasmine, if you're listening to this, not necessarily in that order.
And so besides dancing, what other things do you enjoy doing?
Knitting.
Playing with thread. Yeah.
Baking.
My previous life before I was a dancer was in textiles. And clothing design and clothing construction. Clothing design is sort of a bizarre term that doesn't really mean anything. But clothing construction is what I studied, and really fascinated by cloth and how it drapes over the body. And anything about something very meditative about playing with thread makes me really, 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 really happy. So I like that. And I'm not into food. So Mega likes to bake.
I love to bake, and I never baked until I went vegan, and then I had to. Because my whole family went vegan. My daughter, my husband, we're all vegan. And one of the choices that that I made right up front when I decided that I was going to be vegan and I wasn't bringing any dairy into the house was that I was not going to let my kid have a deprived life for this, because I feel like I'm giving her a gift. I'm giving her a gift of less chance of disease. And a little more spiritual clarity. I'm giving to her. I'm not taking away her childhood. So I decided, you know, right up front that, well, that means I'm going to be baking birthday cakes, and I'm going to be baking cupcakes, and I'm going to be making brownies and cookies. And it's fantastic. I love it. I absolutely love baking. And who knew? I never knew. I was so scared to death to try to bake. I was very intimidated by it. But you get a book, and there's a thing in it called a recipe. And all you do is you get all the stuff that they tell you to get, and you follow the instructions, and voila, you've got a cake.
That's I don't amazing. Believe it.
No, I never believed it either.
It's just that simple.
It is that simple. And there's an amazing book called Vegan Cupcakes Take Over the World. And even if you're not vegan and not interested in trying vegan, it is the bomb as far as cupcake books go. They've got like margarita cupcakes. They've got tiramisu cupcakes. You know, it's in there.
Sounds good to me. Margarita cupcakes got me there.
It's good.
Could they make me a Manhattan cupcake?
I bet they could.
With a little whiskey back?
I bet they could. You know what? I'm working on it. Okay. It's on my list now.
So for those of you who have never seen Carolina, she's got many tattoos. Are there any tattoos that you've ever regretted getting?
No.
You love them all.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite tattoo?
Oh, my Kuan Yin. My tattoo of Kuan Yin. It was sort of transgresses the Buddhist concept of not grasping, because I grasped at her. And I was so, when I found her, I was so completely transfixed, and I needed her so much that I actually tattooed her on my skin. And then I realized that that was the completely opposite concept of, you know, non-grasping in Buddhist philosophy. But yeah, she's my favorite. She's the absolutely most fabulous thing ever. She sits on my right arm. But I love all my tattoos. It's kind of funny, because when I first started getting tattooed, I thought, you know, I'll tattoo beautiful images on my skin, but I won't tattoo words, because you might regret the words later. First tattoo that I had was just an image of a phoenix bird, and that was good. And then the next thing that I did was I tattooed the word Gawazi across my back, which I was immediately informed could mean prostitute and take it in the wrong context. And I thought, I don't care. That doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, dancers are considered prostitutes in cultures where women aren't allowed their own single lifestyles. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, if a woman works for herself, well, then she must be a prostitute. Just a blanket statement, right? So I was like, I don't care. That's fine with me. And then the next thing I got was mom, because I figured, like, who could fault me for having mom? Then I got my grandparents' names tattooed on me. Then I got one life and ahimsa tattooed on me, you know, meaning that I respect all life and I believe in, you know, no violence whatsoever. And then I got mother and father tattooed on me. So, like, it basically now all of my tattoos are words, you know, which is just kind of funny, you know, because I just said I would never do that. And ultimately I did it without even thinking. So, yeah, now I have lots of words tattooed all over my body.
I don't think it's in the same league as, you know, me and Billy forever, you know?
Right, right.
Where it's like, you just go, that was a bad idea.
Right. They're all very significant words that I realized that, like, I could have words tattooed on me that I know that forever it's going to mean something to me.
If you weren't belly dancing, what would you be doing if it all ended tomorrow? I know you have, you said.
Your library.
Your library.
Plan. Working at the library.
And how about you, Miss Mega?
Baking.
She's just decided the decision has been made.
No, I have all these little, I'm a Gemini, so I have a lot of stuff going on in my head all the time. But I have all these little ideas that run through my head that I think about all the time. I'm also a henna artist. I would love, you know, to be able to just do henna full time. But I don't know that that's really a viable career option either. I often have thought about having like a vegan cake business on the side or something, so maybe I would do that. My daughter's in a Waldorf school now, which is such an incredible environment. Maybe I would try to become a Waldorf teacher. I don't know. I love teaching. I love helping people and I love making things. Mm-hmm. So I would try to something like that.
My mom was a reference librarian, so I really see, the teaching aspect of that. Like, I love going to the library, and I love the reference librarians that say, what are you looking for? What do you want? And it's like, as I said, customer service in San Francisco, pretty much a non-existent entity. So going into the library and having people just dying to help you. And my mom said, when you go to the library, they want to ask them. That's what they're there for. They get paid and they're excited when you ask them something. So it's not necessarily a teaching platform, but just the idea of, being able to go find something for somebody. Oh, waitressing. I would like to be a waitressing librarian. That would work for me. Love waitressing. Love it.
You could have your own library where you serve people snacks and drinks and stuff, Like while they're perusing the material.
Oh, God, that would be so fabulous.
Or I would like a coffee, and I would also like a copy of Gulliver's Travels.
No problem.
Just sit here.
Exactly. No problem.
That would, did you
want large print?
I would so live in your library.
Did you want audiobook? Like,
that would
exactly,
be like heaven. That's my idea.
Would you like an audiobook with that?
Yeah. Where you don't have to leave to eat anything because there's food there and you can just read books.
Yeah.
Books and food. That's like, you don't need anything else.
I'm there. I'm your girl.
And occasionally I'd go dance in the stairwell.
We are hereby officially patenting that idea. You may not
nobody else take
open
it
a cafe library
right. We're talking to you.
Thank you.
That would make me so happy. Nothing can make me happier. A book,
that would be insane.
You want a book and a cup of coffee, I'm there for you. A book and a glass of wine, I'm your girl. I can get it for you, just let me know.
I'm just getting all glowy. That would be great.
So who are some of the other dancers besides each other that you enjoy watching dance?
Nobody else.
I know. I just like watching you.
I enjoy watching everybody. I really do. I completely dig it. I don't have a favorite. I just love to see what everybody's doing. I do.
I really love to watch people who really look like they're having fun at it. There are some people who can, I want to say manifest things, but that's not really exactly what I mean. But as an example, I like to watch Amel Tafsut dance, and I have seen her perform where she actually did channel the goddess in England. I may have told you about that. I will later, but it was really incredible. So I'd like to watch, people who are really connected to what they're doing, and it really, something meaningful will happen, and you can tell that it takes them to a different place. That really fascinates me. And I love to watch people who just have so much joy about what they're doing that you can't help but smile while you're watching it, even if their technique is sloppy. Some of my favorite performances have been, by groups or people who didn't have a really great technique, or that you were maybe never going to be at a professional level, but just were so enraptured with what they were doing that it made me smile, like completely involuntarily, and warmed my heart. That's what I love to watch. Mm-hmm. I really love to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Are there any, I know you guys do a lot of work with Helm. We definitely heard about them in the workshop. Are there any other artists that you would recommend to other improv dancers?
Well, Helm is really the best because they're creating this stuff for ATS. So it's the right rhythms and tempos and everything, definitely. But we also dance to a little bit of stuff by Rocky and the Cavemen.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of their stuff is the right, time signatures
for
what we
do.
But they've got
when they hit it, they hit it.
They've got a handful of really incredible pieces that you can use, and we've both had the pleasure of performing live with them, and I have on a couple of occasions. They're coming back to Birmingham this year, and Carolina's going to come to Birmingham for the show.
Yes,
we're all going to do a show together.
So
they are incredible. Definitely recommend them highly.
Wessel Ramsey's folkloric stuff, amazing. Mm-hmm. Really, really amazing. Really inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Aisha Ali's recordings of Music of the Gwazi and Music of the Fellaheen, her field recording stuff is amazing and fabulous for ATS. Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't know it at the time, but it turned out to be really, really great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you, when a lot of us saw a video of you guys dancing to Aisha?
Oh, Sheb Khaled. Oh my God.
It got us like so giddy because, that's something that we'd use like so many times because a lot of us who are dancing together now used to do cabaret together. And we just got like, oh my gosh, because that was one of our all time favorite songs. And we're like, oh my gosh, Fat Chance just danced to Aisha. We can use music from cabaret days. This is amazing. Yeah.
You know, Sheb Khaled, I got to say that when he sings, I get the feeling that I'm falling in love. And it's not about, like, I'm falling in love with him. Mm-hmm. It's that what the emotion that he's able to put into his music makes me feel like, just like the pure emotion of what it feels like when you're falling in love. Every single time I hear him sing Aisha or Sara or, you know, one of his signature mm-hmm. songs, I'm just like, oh, God, I'm so happy right now. I mean, it's just amazing. His juju is something incredibly special. Yeah, he's got an incredible gift. And I didn't know that you used that in Cabaret.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That was like our favorite slower song, you know?
Really?
We just like, if there was any excuse, let's do Aisha, you know, and work on our chest circles and our snake arm.
I have been asked to teach belly dance classes at one of the high schools in Birmingham that actually has a dance program, and they have a dance studio in their high school. Anyway, so I'm lucky enough that I've been invited to come in, you know, every year and teach a day of dance classes there. And so one of the first times that I went, I included Aisha on my class music because I thought that's more likely to appeal to a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl than, you know, like the Musicians of the Nile or something might uh-huh. that we can totally groove on, you know. But it's a little easier on the Western ear, right. You know. I put it in and we started dancing and I heard a couple of girls going, oh, I know this song. Oh, this is, yeah, Aisha. This is the one with that video on YouTube with that boy. He's trying to sing Aisha, and he's doing this thing. And I was like,
what?
I have no idea what you're talking about. But apparently it had become kind of a...
Really?
It had a little a pop moment in,
oh, cool.
in teenage oh. world for a while, which totally flipped me out. I had no idea. And I was like, okay, let's just... not think about that right now. Just dance. Can we just dance? I've got 30 minutes, girls. Come on.
And you know, quite a few years ago, like maybe 17 years ago, I saw Sheb Khaled on the Jay Leno show. Mm-hmm. Was that a show?
Yeah, probably.
He was a featured artist. And I was, oh my God, it's like Sheb Khaled is like on mainstream TV. This is so exciting. And he smiles while he's singing. Mm-hmm. And you can feel, that's what it is, you know what I mean? It's like when you hear him sing, he smiles while he sings, and that changes your emotion. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I was just like that, like I watched him and I was like, that is a performer's performer. And I saw him in concert, and it was just like an epic experience of watching him control a crowd of like God knows how many thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow. That's amazing. I mean, he just had the ability to amp up and close down and amp up and close down a crowd. And everybody was completely willing to go along with the program. You know, they were just like, man, whatever you want, we're completely willing to do it. And I went to just, you know, see the show like, okay, I like this performer. I'll check it out. But I'm just going to hang up here in the balcony. And by the end of it, I was like throwing my panties at the stage. Do you know what I mean? I was just like completely under his control. And I was like, I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm just like, if he sweats on me, I'll feel, do you know what I mean? I'll feel like I got what I needed, you know?
I'll never wash this way.
Exactly. No, really, really, really. I mean, it's still like to this day when I think about it, I'm just like, oh my God. Yeah.
So who knows Carolina better? Carolina or Mega? Face off. All right, whoever Caroline. Answers first correctly will win. Respect.
I just need to preface this by, I love you, Carolina.
I love you too, baby.
All right, girl.
These are really stupid questions, so if you get them wrong, don't feel bad.
Okay. Now, is this like a buzz-in? Who can answer it first?
Just quickly. Because I'm afraid if you smack something, glasses will go flying. Okay. All right. Question one. What was Carolina queen of in junior high?
Oh, ab sit-ups.
Ooh. Wow.
Point.
Out of the gate.
I heard her say that today.
I know, I'm like, half of these stuff, you weren't in the room, so I'm like, this should be interesting. Okay. What movie does Carolina claim to be obsessed with?
Gandhi.
No, it's got something to do with Tyler Perry.
In the Office.
Trading Places.
She's on fire! Wow. I admit, I thought it was going to go differently. You know, we'll see if you can rally here. Fill in the blank. Story time in Blankland.
If you know this, Carolina, feel free to take this one.
Don't hold back.
Story time in Fairyland.
Yes. You don't have to lose just to make her feel good about herself. She's got a healthy ego. She'll be okay. Here we go.
That's all I could do not to answer that question.
Next book. Okay, what book were you talking about when you made this statement? I think the illustrations are really sexy.
Anatomy of Hatha Yoga.
Well done. Well done. Rare. All right. What were you referring to when you said this? If you can see it on a human body, you need to get that person a snack because they are too skinny.
Muscle fiber.
Ooh, good. My favorite Carolina-isms over the course of the training.
And if you can't see a person's muscle fiber, you need to get that person a snack because they're way too thin.
Okay, fill in the blank. The blank will suck your soul out of your system if you believe everything it tells you.
The mirror.
Yes.
Ooh, that was a good one. Oh, I didn't, you know. Okay, here we go. Fill in the blank. Walk like a blank.
Egyptian? I couldn't help myself.
Well, no. Walk like a what? Walk like a cat?
No. Walk like a girl.
Walk like a girl.
Walk like a girl.
Walk like a girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Walk like a girl.
Point for nobody.
I know. Point for me, because I stumped them. Yay, yeah. Me. All right. Almost done. What is this referring to? There is no highway built there, but wait. We'll work on it.
The neural pathway for belly rolls.
And then the subcontractors start messing up and nothing ever gets done. That's all I have to say about that, especially belly flutters. All right, last question. During general skills, what happens when you argue with Carolina?
You cry.
Close, maybe.
You might.
You lose.
You lose. That's right. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, I hate to break it to you, Carolina, but I think Mega knows you better than you know you.
Well, it's actually 4-4.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I thought we had nine questions.
Yeah, but one of them you got.
Oh, that's right. We need a tiebreaker.
That's funny because we often talk about how like we're turning into the same person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We can finish each other's sentences. Yeah. And we take care of each other.
We take care of each other. We got
no tunnels for Mega. No tunnels for Mega. No, no cold food for Carolina.
No cold food for Carolina.
No. No, it's like, it's interesting. Like, someone will say, well, you know, you can get there if you just get on the subway. And I'm like, no, no subway. Mega does not like the subway. And then someone will say, you know, do you want to have some, I don't know, ice gelato something, and she's like, no, Carolina cannot have cold food. So it's like we're like constantly, it's like true. Before the other person can answer, we're like, no, no, no. It's not good, it's for her, true, that yeah. She'll make that makes her unhappy.
Yeah.
Our lives go better if our partners are happy, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like if I can make her life easy, then my life is cream, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. If she makes me happy, everything is good. So
yeah.
It's well, then good. I think take it's serendipitous that it ended as a tie.
There we go. Love
partners
you, baby.
Forever.
Love you, baby.
I love you, Mary.
I love you, too. Group hug. Yay.
Well, the last question that we ask all our guests is, can you give us your best yip?
Yip.
Yip.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
And that is the end of the interview.
But that's not the last you'll hear of Carolina and Mega on your podcast.
No, because good stalkers never say die. Yay.
Well, I was just thinking more along the lines of next week. Don't be part of Shimiko.
Oh, that's what I meant too. I was just joking. I'm not obsessed with them or anything.
Whoops.
This is awkward. I know. Feel awkward.
So on that note, can you tell us a little about our music selection?
Okay, so our second music spotlight of the week is the group Helm. They are a very cool ensemble, and they focus on music of the Middle East. They also collaborate heavily with Carolina and Fat Chance Belly Dance to create music that is specifically perfect for tribal belly dance. The first song we're going to hear is Hosani Ooh. It's this really fun, upbeat, like mid-tempo fast song. The second song is Male Ooh Fil Fil. Am I pronouncing this wrong? Big apologies. And this one is my favorite out of the three. It's really slinky and it's fun. And the third song we're going to listen to is Amel. And it starts slow and then it speeds up. So you can get in some of your slow moves and then you can bump it up to fast moves. That one's really fun. Okay, Miss Tammy, what is going on about town?
Well, let's see. July 29th, which is a Wednesday night, Gogol Bordello is going to be at the club at Firestone here in downtown Orlando. So their website is www.gogolbordello.com. Ooh, August 1st, in Birmingham, Alabama, Aziza is going to be doing a drum solo workshop, and Daviani will be hosting it in their brand new reopened studio.
Excellent. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Talked a little bit to Mega about it. And apparently, Carolina was there when they got floated out. So, so their website is www.daviani.net. Umada Rodeo is coming up August 8th.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! I so want to go.
You're not going.
I don't even understand. No, of course I'm not. I have no money. I just took general skills.
So feeling the pinch.
Exactly. So that's August 8th. It's in Half Moon Bay, California. And Umada is going to be Human Ponies. The Indigo is going to be Saloon Girls. Suhail is going to be a rodeo queen. And yeah, they're going to have,
pictures.
I'm sure they will. I think they're going to have like something like throwing horseshoe type games and beans and Franks type luncheon. I don't know.
Everyone wears spurs.
Yeah. And that you can find more information on that at www.umada.com/rodeo. So those are the things coming up in the next couple weeks. So if you want to know about anything that we've discussed in these two episodes, you can visit our website at www.yippodcast.com, where we will have all the links to everything we discussed. You could also email us at email@yippodcast.com. You can Skype us at yippodcast. You can leave us a message at 321-441-3933. Or you can go on our tribe at tribes.tribe.net/yippodcast, or just go to tribes.net and search for yippodcast. Who knows? So that's all I got this week, Mary. I hope that everyone has enjoyed listening to our interview with Mega and Carolina, and hope that having two episodes wasn't too much for you guys, but we just didn't feel we could cut anything out. They were just amazing guests. So thank you, Carolina and Mega. This has been Tammy.
And this has been Mary.
Yep.